You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Just a few days left in which we're featuring two incredible resources. If you have not as yet procured them, you can do that on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. One of those books is titled The Third Day, in which I write about the reality of the resurrection in a memorable format. The other, The Week That Changed the World, by my good friend Paul Meyer. It is absolutely stunning. Both resources you can find on the web, available for those who support the ministry. And these resources, I think, are particularly important because in the past decades, we have seen an outpouring of sensationalistic books, motion pictures, television specials, all of which seem to feature Jesus and the true origins of Christianity in a way that makes them barely recognizable. Dr. Paul Meyer calls this phenomenon the Jesus game. And here is how it is played. You begin with a general sketch of Jesus on the basis of the Gospels, and then you distort it as much as you please. You add clashing colors. You paint in a bizarre background. You add episodes to the life of Christ that could not possibly have happened, and in the end, if the result still faintly resembles the Jesus of the New Testament, you lose. But if you come with a radically different, sensational portrait of Jesus, you win. And what is the prize? It's maximum coverage in the nation's media, and any frowns from the faithful will be ignored amid the skyrocketing sales of your product. Well, this is the culture in which we live. It's a post-truth culture, and again, the antidote, these resources that I was talking about, which you can find on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. We'll talk to Audrey in Fresno, California. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, how are you today, Hank?
I'm doing well.
My son, two Thanksgivings ago, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. He's 28. But last week, he claims to be agnostic, and I'm just wondering about his soul.
Yes. Well, Audrey, I'd have to leave his soul in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, but just in terms of principle, I can tell you that the kind of faith that we're called to is an active faith. And so if we deny Jesus Christ as our forgiver and our leader, if we believe that Jesus Christ is not God, if we do not want to be participants in his kingdom, then God does not force himself on those. And so I would say as a mother, what you can do is you can pray for your son. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Pray that he might come back to a true valuation of things, an act of faith, in which he is walking with the Lord in the context of the body of Christ, which is to say, none of us have been called in isolation. We have always been called in community. And it is in community, in the body of Christ, that we receive the graces by which we can live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. So I don't think if someone is actively rejecting the Lord, that by definition would indicate that they are saved. However, as long as your son has breath, you can pray that God brings people and circumstances into his life so that he comes to a true valuation of things. And just by way of encouragement, I can tell you that I was one of those people up until the age I was 29. I grew up in the church, and yet I rejected Christ, I rejected Christianity, and my parents prayed for me from the moment that I openly rejected Christ until the time that he became my Savior and Lord at 29 years of age. So I can tell that God, I can tell you as an example that God was faithful to the prayers of my parents and many others, has brought me into the faith, and by his grace has condescended to use me as an ambassador for Christ.
Yes, definitely. Obviously, yes. I've never ceased to pray. I'm having difficulty with my own battle. For some reason, I have mental, emotional problems and have been battling. I feel like I'm battling the enemy. And so having been blessed with only one son, I don't want to lose him. You know, I have the Holy Spirit. I know I'm stronger than the enemy. It just breaks your heart when you hear them say, I claim to be an agnostic.
Audrey, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Audrey and her openness. We all have our battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. I can attest to that myself. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be the balm of Gilead in Audrey's life, that you would give her peace in the midst of this storm. And I do pray for her son, that he might come to a true valuation of things and not just say out of one side of his mouth that he believes in Christ, on the other that he's agnostic, but that he might become an active participant within the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray that he might as well become a testimony to your grace. And Lord, once again, we recognize that through this majestic form of electronics, there are so many people listening in that will pray as well. And so we simply beseech you to hear our prayers in this moment and in the future. And all of this is prayed not by our power or by our doing, but simply in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Frank.
You got it.
Have a blessed day.
You too, Audrey. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lewis listening in Augusta, Georgia.
Hank, I have a local teacher in a junior high social studies class that's telling the students that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Where can I get my hands on some written information that disputes that?
Well, I've written a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, that demonstrates beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Muslims and Christians do not worship the same God. In fact, Muslims would be indignant at the very notion. We believe in a triadic one. They are fiercely Unitarian in their belief. And they think that the idea of the Trinity is not only absurd and laughable, but downright blasphemous. In fact, when we say Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, they would say that that is an unforgivable sin, the unforgivable sin of shirk. So the idea that we worship the same God is negated both in Christian circles as well as in Muslim circles. And we have some good articles. You can probably find them on the web at equip.org that we did in the Christian Research Journal.
Okay. Isn't Allah considered to be a moon god or something like that, or a god of the moon?
Well, but here's the deal. The real issue is not the origin of the name Allah. Even if that were correct, that's not the issue, because words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So Muhammad, when he worshipped Allah, he didn't worship Allah as a moon god, but as a Unitarian god. He derived the idea for Allah out of sort of a muddy mixture of Jewishness and Christianity and Arabian paganism. And he got most of it wrong, but he came up with an amalgamation of ideas that formed his concept of God. But into his meaning, he is talking about one God, whereas Christians are talking about one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. So Muhammad not only gets it wrong when it comes to Unitarianism, but also when it comes to who the Godhead is comprised of.
Okay, very good. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You got it. And, you know, one PS to this is that Arabic-speaking Christians still call God Allah today. And this goes to my point that words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal. So when a Coptic Christian, for example, uses the word Allah, they are referring to the triadic one. When a Muslim uses the same word, they are referring to a Unitarian God. We'll be right back.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important fact of Christianity. In fact, if Christ was not raised from the dead, nothing else matters. We are still in our sins and have no hope of heaven. Learn to defend the resurrection with Hank's book, The Third Day, our gift to you in appreciation for your ministry support today. Examine and explode the lies of resurrection deniers and strengthen your confidence in your own resurrection. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and my thanks to all of those who have joined the monthly support team. I was personalizing some books to new members of the CRI support team, and I'm grateful for everyone who joins CRI's monthly support team. Without you, we simply could not do what we do, not only here, but around the world. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lisa, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I have some friends who believe in the Jesus only or oneness Pentecostal doctrine, and they don't believe in the Trinity. And I wanted to know, is that a heresy or is that still a form of Christianity?
Well, it's a horrendous heresy. You think about the fact that independent of the universe, God would be a God who is morally defective because he could not exercise the attribute of love. Love always requires a lover and one who is beloved and a witness to that love. And within the Trinity, you have that independent of the universe. Now, when God spoke and the universe leapt into existence, there are people to love. But prior to that time, and I'm using that word in sort of an anthropomorphic sense because there was no time prior to the time that God spoke and the universe came into existence. So please understand that qualification. But independent of the universe, there would be no one to love now that the universe has been created as well as those who are created in the image of God. We can be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity, but independent of the universe, that would not have been the case. So the ramifications of this idea, which very, very prevalent in the Muslim religion, now has crept into Pentecostalism, and Pentecostalism rightly at the very beginning announced this as a heresy, and it most certainly is. It is a pernicious heresy.
Should I be fellowshipping with them?
Well, look, I mean, there are lots of people that have an absence of knowledge in this regard, but this is something that is what we call an essential of the historic Christian faith. So if you are in that kind of a context, you want to only be in that kind of a context as a witness. Because remember, oneness Pentecostalism holds to a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. Why by their formula? Because they don't accept the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one God with three persons that are forever distinct. They reject that. Now, in the oneness Pentecostal tradition, no tongues, no salvation, and this puts tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues because those who do not speak in tongues are thought to be lacking in faith or to be entirely unrepentant. But let's go back to the error. I often said error begets error. The belief that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led the oneness Pentecostal to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So again, they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And many will go as far as to say that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. What's really interesting about this is the oneness Pentecostals have taken God and redefined God in a manner that is explicable to them. True Christians always acknowledge that God is beyond our comprehension. On the one hand, he is knowable through the graces of Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, he's ineffable. He's unknowable in his essence. And so we bow before the mystery of God. C.S. Lewis said the man-made religions are always the made-up religions, and they're easy to understand because they're made in human likeness as opposed to being deeply, deeply impressed with the mystery of God who is beyond all human comprehension.
I agree with you totally. I've done a lot of research. I actually 20 years ago went through that and got baptized again in the name of Jesus. And, you know, I'm a Trinitarian because that's something I was raised in the Baptist. And I believe it. I understand. I believe the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are one. But I guess right now I'm feeling uncomfortable because we've come to a crossroad in a couple of relationships that I have, frankly, because we always get to conversations, and that's where we have to, you know, divide, because I don't believe that. And I'm wondering if it's, like you said, it's at a point where it's more, I guess you would call friendship, not even as a witness, because it's being rejected. The Trinity is being rejected. So should I even be in association with someone who rejects the Trinity?
Well, I think so. I mean, Christ ate with prostitutes and sinners because he wanted to reach them. And I think we want to do the same thing. Now, we're not able to worship the same God because they're worshiping a God who is morally defective. But yes, I mean, I think it's important, especially with your background, to always be available as a witness.
Amen. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Shirley next in Garner, North Carolina. Hi, Shirley.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It is my pleasure.
I was wondering if you could give some insight regarding the teaching of Ray Hagen and this philosophy of Afrocentrism.
I'd like to know, is it cultic? Because I understand that they are indicating that Bible characters are fake. Jesus does not exist
for meditation over prayer. So how do I respond to someone who has defected from the Christian faith and embraced this philosophy?
Well, and the answer to that is always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. You need to be able to respond to these kinds of claims in a post-truth culture. Ray Hagen is very critical, as you say, of biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, and you're absolutely right. He claims Christianity is based on pre-Christian Egyptian religions and the like, that Jesus never existed, and what he's communicating needs to be countered. First of all, let me say that on a very simplistic level, we can say that he is wrong because virtually all scholarship today, both secular and spiritual, concedes the historicity of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Well, archaeology and history demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Jesus Christ lived. A great example is Tacitus, the greatest historian of the first century. He, though an enemy of Christianity, acknowledges that Christ lived and was crucified. And the same could be said by many other ancient historians apart from a biblical worldview, like the Jewish Josephus writing to please the Romans, or Suetonius, author of the 12 Caesars. And on it goes. The reality is there's little doubt today, except in fringe groups, that Jesus Christ existed. Of course he existed. Archaeology and history underscore that emphatically. So Ray Hagen is simply living in a reality that does not correspond to reality. And the idea that Christianity is based on pre-Christian Egyptian religion is simply false. I mean, many of those religions were syncretistic. Christianity is anything but syncretistic. It claims that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It is completely different and cannot cohere with other religions because it is diametrically opposed to the notion of other religions that we can reach up and become acceptable to God, or whatever one perceives as God, by one's own goodness. In Christianity, we say only Christ could do what we could never do, and so God reaches down so that we could have a relationship with him for not only time, but also for eternity. So this is a very, very false belief system and should be vigorously countered. But when you do that, we do that not in a combative way, but with gentleness and with respect. We simply communicate the truth that Christ really lived, that he really rose from the dead, The compelling argument for the resurrection is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he had risen from the dead. First he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, to more than 500 of the brothers, most of whom are still living, says Paul at the time, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, they're ready to be cross-examined if what I'm saying is not true. Then he appears to James, then he appears to all the apostles, and then Paul says, last of all, he appeared also to me as one abnormally born. As a result of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, the disciples were radically transformed from scared and scattered to disciples who were willing to face the tyrant's strategic steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of a thousand deaths. Thanks for standing with us shoulder to shoulder, the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.